The well is deep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us cast our minds over all the Gospels and ask, do we ever meet a more voluble, more questioning, more seeking woman than the Samaritan woman at the well? 5 husbands? It is a wonder that she has not brought 25 husbands to divorce or wearied them to an early grave with her intensity, her ceaseless flood of probing thoughts and questions. Perhaps you have known a woman or a man like this, or even dated one. There will be no quiet evenings holding hands on the front porch glider, for her mind burns ever bright as a diamond. She looks up at the night sky and sees not pleasant pictures of constellations, but rather urges questions concerning the origins of the universe, or the metaphysical significance of black holes, or ultimate meanings of creation and life. She is not content with the quotidian life of chores, exertion, and rest. The Samaritan woman is a seeker. As we enter the scene this morning in our gospel reading, we are presented with a contrast. We read that Jesus is wearied, that he sat down, that he asks for a drink. He is in a retiring posture, passive and reserved. A quiet and humble woman would simply fill his cup with water and say no more. But the Samaritan woman goes straight to the point of engagement, even possible conflict, launching into a conversation concerning true religion, the antagonisms between Samaritans and Judeans, and the great question that underlies these: where is the true temple? On Mount Gerizim in Samaria, or on Mount Zion in Judea? Hearing the high pitch and energy of her mind, Jesus goes directly to her wavelength. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then he touches the restless, questioning, burning point of her soul directly. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And she replies directly on that same wavelength, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Astonishing. We go from visible exhaustion, a need for rest, and a request for water to the deepest depths of the desiring soul, all in an instant. Polite conversation or exchange pleasantries never begin. Surfaces are discarded from the start. This is the level of God thought. Human discourse with God is always about the state of life in which we meet with him. And we are accustomed to Jesus habituating these profound regions. Indeed, the Gospels stand out in the literature of the world for this terse power, for this spare composition that transcends the quotidian. But which disciple or Roman official or temple authority ever approaches Jesus of Nazareth at this level of discourse? More astonishing still, in the first century, which woman? The disciples were astonished that he was speaking to a woman. Yes, the Canaanite woman is remarkable for her humility. And Martha of Bethany is expressive in her anxiety and her grief when her brother dies. We think of the Most Holy Mother of God as the woman wrapped in silence. But which woman in the Gospels is so intensely focused on ultimate questions concerning communion with God, much less personal and general salvation? She says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Here are the depths, the ultimate depths of theology. Two strangers meet at a well, who spend little time in life's shallows, discovering, we might say, a marriage of true minds. On the subject of marriage, many scripture scholars have noticed that this scene is composed of elements of the Jewish betrothal story. Item: a stranger arrives from a foreign land. Item: he encounters a girl or a woman at a well, which symbolizes fertility. Item: water is drawn. Item: the water runs to tell her people of the bridegroom's arrival. We may say two things for certain. First, no first century Jew would fail to notice these stock elements, what Robert Alter calls a type scene. Second, no follower of Jesus would fail to know that he is the bridegroom, attested by himself and others throughout the Gospels, Mark 2, Matthew 25, John 2, John 3. Who would dispute that in some ways the story of the Samaritan woman is about marriage? The woman has had five husbands. Is this about lust? Lust can be pursued in other ways than marriage. Marriage is not about the body. It is about the soul. Marriage, after all, is the ultimate human relationship. One bone, one flesh, the Lord Jesus says, Matthew 19:5. People seek it because they believe a dream might come true, a dream of inner fulfillment, of two lives joined in peace and the constancy of holy love. Marriage is the way we seek after human truth in relationship. Our God is himself relationship, and as we are made in God's image, we seek the identity of relationship too. We might say he has inscribed it in our DNA, for we commonly see that humans at birth need love, and soon the need to give love. Marriage is the consummation of relationship, opposites being joined that will replicate the image of God. The Samaritan woman has obviously dug deep into the earth of human relationship in this way, deeper and deeper as she passes through one marriage after another, always seeking. The pattern is not one of fulfillment, but of coming up dry, always digging and coming up dry. Digging deep is another obvious theme set before us as her meeting with God takes place at the Well of Wells, Jacob's Well, where no one in ancient Israel had ever dug deeper, 135 feet and a diameter of 12 feet, a wonder of the ancient world. Wells commonly discovered by archaeologists in the Holy Land today discover wells that are one-third this deep. And of course, the subject is living water, which no amount of digging or drilling might ever hope to obtain. Finally, the site is where the site where the story takes place commemorates a most holy depth, where Abraham had erected an altar, where he offered sacrifice, and where he heard God speak, confirming his covenant that Abraham would be the father of a chosen race. That is, the woman stands on a kind of Mount Sinai, where man has spoken to God and where God has spoken to man, or before a burning bush in the Median wilderness. On this score, we might ask, where else in the Gospels does Jesus say, I am the Christ? I who speak to you am he. This is very much like the I am who I am uttered by God to Moses at the burning bush. In this, the many married woman finally is joined to the bridegroom. She has long sought the bridegroom, and she has found him. She has not been the wise virgin going out to meet the bridegroom with her lamp full of oil, for she has poured herself out, seeking fulfillment, burning her oil in marriage after marriage. And here we come to a burning point of the story. You see, set within each of us, at conception, is an eternal soul. Our soul is that ongoing happening, that mystery we call me. We may term it consciousness or ego or whatever you like to fill in a blank. We shall never understand, not in a material way. But we know this. It is ageless. The me set within us as children is the same me we have today and forever. It is eternal because it is composed of the same divinity of the one who made it and who set it within us. Call it our divine spark. But whatever we call it, it is very God placed within each of us. And God placed it there to be the master of our bodies and minds. Blaise Pascal described it as a void within us that, unless we fill it with God, we shall spend all of our lives filling it in vain with everything else in the world. In our own time, people commonly fill this divinely etched void with sex. Sex in search of meaning. But it is a proverb that sex alone and the false relationship that goes with it will always leave us feeling empty, even desolated, and many times powerfully and instantly desolated. That the Samaritan woman now has a man who is not her husband signifies that she has finally lapsed into this lust and fallen into desolation. The cracked jar of clay she carries says as much. Yes, we have this treasure in clay jars, St. Paul says, but then we also have this clay, cracked, leaking, which is to say, never to be filled, never satisfying our yearning souls, which of course is the content of the conversation of the woman with the Lord Jesus. But with Jesus, there is forgiveness and restoration. In the Samaritan woman, we are presented with an ideal of salvation. She is the yearning world awaiting the Savior. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things. The same evangelist who has related this story began his gospel with the grave declaration, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Yet here is the receiving, welcoming world, longing for his arrival. The woman sets down her jar of clay, turning away from empty and disappointing life. And she runs to the people of the town, announcing the good news prophesied by Isaiah. Can this be the Christ? In this, St. John the theologian records the first evangelist. And the townspeople respond to her evangelization in the affirmative. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Soon Jesus will advance on to Galilee, underlining the remarkable events that had taken place at Jacob's well. After the 2 days he departed to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country, Nazareth of Galilee. Today, salvation has come to Sychar Shechem. Today we have seen the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. God coming among his people and being greeted and honored for who and what he is, God. And our woman evangelist who has burned her oil seeking light, she will be named Photini at her baptism, the enlightened one. And she will bring many to the Christ who singled her out to hear these longed-for words, the desire of the everlasting hills. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.